I just wish we could all get along like we used to in middle school. I wish that I could bake a cake made out of rainbows and smiles and we'd all eat and be happy.
She doesn't even go here!
Do you even go to this school?
I just have a lot of feelings.
Hi, and welcome to the Psychology Sisters podcast.
Just two besties on a quest to normalize the dialogue around mental health. I'm Kat, a registered psychologist.
And I'm Amy, a registered psychotherapist. In our episodes, we combine our skills, professional and personal experiences with a light sprinkling of science and a dabble of fun to help you to become informed, in control and empowered.
Now let's dive deep into today's episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 12. Woo-hoo. So exciting. Today we are talking about a really serious topic that we felt really need addressing, and it's all about girls, girls, and girls. How often do you feel like you are judged from other girls? How often do you scroll through Instagram and compare yourself to them and subconsciously try to find their flaws? How often have you judged another girl? How many times have you sat with your friends and felt inadequate? How many times have you talked with your girlfriends negatively about another girl and ended up feeling worse about yourself than better? These are questions that Amy and I really wanted to address today, and they're something that we have seen both professionally and especially personally, and it's a huge thing that we find really affecting girls and I guess girl power. And I feel like we've lost a little bit of that in the last few years, whether it's from social media or whether it's from just the constant comparison we find ourselves, especially with other girls. So, Amy, what is your experience with mean girls?
Oh, God. I have a long history with mean girls. I probably had my first encounter of feeling like I was being shamed by my peers when I was in, I think, year five, primary school.
Wow.
It was probably my first recollection of experiencing just really nasty mean girls that call you names, exclude you, belittle you, judge you. And I think that was pretty consistent through high school as well. I also have felt like that with colleagues in my professional setting as well. I feel like sometimes other women in a professional setting can be very judgmental and very belittling, condescending to younger women.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a wide variety.
And how do you think that impacted your mental health, especially going through primary and high school feeling like that?
I think it definitely is damaging to your self-esteem and your confidence. I think it makes you compare yourself more to other women when you're constantly being judged and shamed and making you feel like you're not good enough or you're not worthy. I also feel like it makes you feel really disconnected from your girl community.
Yeah, 100%.
It makes you feel like you don't belong, like you don't have any women on your side. It's very disempowering. What about you?
I've actually been very lucky in terms of the girl community, but I'm also someone who's very ignorant. I don't really pick up on other women. I think in primary school, of course, I was bullied like everybody else, but I think I ignored it a lot, and I think I would just – I don't know whether it's because I was raised with brothers that there wasn't much, I guess, pre-high school dialogue that I knew about women against women. It was always – everybody's friends, and if they don't like you, they don't like you. But especially it wasn't until high school that I really thought that there's a really huge power shift that women start to go against each other. It's more of like a zoo out there, and if you're not as pretty, if you're not as smart, if you're not as funny, if you're not as cool — in high school it's all about being cool and having the latest bags — then you're out and you're not as good as anybody else, and you don't deserve to be in the cool group. You don't deserve to be happy.
I was very uncool.
Yeah. So was I. Yeah. It hasn't changed. And so it really, for me, it wasn't until high school where I started to really notice women competing against women, and that was huge for me because I was so ignorant in primary school to it. And absolutely, I get what you mean. In the workforce, younger women are generally more easily judged than whether maybe it's older women or older men or even younger men. Younger women seem to have this, it's almost like a threat to other women
So 100%. We've both been through a lot of girls against girls. And I think we're both so lucky now in our adult life that we do have a really good community of girls lifting each other up rather than going against each other. Mm. And that's so important to find that. So we wanted to cover a few things today. We want to talk about the psychology behind Mean Girls, the psychology behind women against women and bitching and all of that stuff. Your tribe. So talking about tribes, when I feel like they hate me or I can't connect, judgment and girl shaming, and how to create a passionate girl community and quit the bitching. Mm. So I think, Ames, when I first met you, this is like one of the first conversations we ever had was we were both so sick of the bitching and we couldn't believe how much a lot of people around us were doing it. And I just remember we're in Bondi and we're both like, how frustrating is it and how awful is that feeling of everybody bitching around you or bitching to you or bitching at you? Like, do you remember that conversation? We're both like, to find someone who also agrees, because I thought everybody bitches, that's just who we are as girls. To find someone that was like, oh, it's so shit. Mm. I was like, thank God, yeah, there's someone who just gets it.
And I think that's important to note too. I feel like as women or as girls, that whole, oh, girls are just bitchy, or like, it's okay because we're girls to be bitchy towards one another, but it's not okay because at the end of the day, we're still human beings, and treating each other with judgment and shame and being really bitchy towards one another isn't okay because we're girls, because that's not what girls do. No, that's not how girls should treat each other.
Yeah, 100%. There's no tolerance for aggression or bitchiness or gossiping or slandering ever. That really carries through primary school, and
it becomes like a norm.
It becomes normal, and it's just dressed up as different topics. It's just dressed up as, oh, my boss is such a bitch. How is that any different to that girl on the playground is such a bitch? It's not any different. Just because you're an adult doesn't mean you're any more able to talk about someone like that. Mm. It doesn't make it any better or more okay. Mm. And this certainly needs to be addressed. So I think I'll talk about firstly the psychology behind mean girls. So evolutionary theory, my fave. I need to have a drink every time I say that. They suggested that sex was a resource. Sex was a really highly valued resource that was quite rare. And so women often punish perceived sexual transgressions. So that's, you know, other women who are more promiscuous in their sexuality. And that's sometimes where they think that maybe this is where the start of the cattiness and the competitiveness. So women use indirect aggression. So women are a lot more passive aggressive than men. And they use this against other women because sometimes this might be because they're too sexually available. And it's often women who suppress other women's sexuality, because if sex is a resource, then more sexually promiscuous women lower the price of it and make it more available to men. So this is one way that the evolutionary theory suggests that women who maybe do engage in more sexually promiscuous behaviour, that might be a reason why women are competing against them and are being really threatened by them. And that's the thing. If you are insecure, then you are more likely to scroll through Instagram, compare yourself to another woman walking down the street and find her flaws, because that makes you feel better. Mm. So if you are someone who finds other women a threat, and so many women do, this is normal behavior, 100%. Amy and I are not immune to this. Mm. But if you are someone who is insecure, and I know a lot of women are, the more likely you are to find something negative about another woman and use that against her to make yourself feel better. That is the premise of bullying. Amy and I do work with kids, and we say that maybe it's nothing to do with the victim. It's to do with the perpetrator. It's to do with the bully, because by doing something negative and hurtful and awful to someone makes you feel better, it's got a lot more to say about you than it does the other person. And I think that that's the basic premise of bitching and women being awful to each other. It's so not okay, and it's so not on.
It's the feeling of losing.
Yeah.
I feel like exactly what you're saying, it makes sense. Women feel like they're in competition with each other because our primal instinct is to compete with each other to get men, to ascertain our mate.
Exactly.
And the way women compete with each other isn't like how men compete with each other. Like, they'll just have a fist fight or, you know, compare each other's bank accounts or something like that, and then it's settled. They know who the alpha dog is. With women, it's much more passive. So we are competitive with each other's attractiveness, with our personality qualities, with
intellect, education level.
Yeah, all these types of things that are kind of like sneaky and sly, and we have this real passive way of competing with each other. So And I always think of this example, and when I'm working with children, exactly like you said, I explain how it's usually more to do with the perpetrator. Mm. Do you remember that scene in Mean Girls where she goes, "Oh my gosh, I love your bracelet," and then turns around and goes, "That's the ugliest effing bracelet I've ever seen." Mm. It's that passive aggression. It's that
two-faced, I think.
Constantly competing with each other, you know, like to be more attractive, to be more intelligent, to be nicer, to be kinder, to compete for men or whatever it is that we're competing for, just to be better than each other. But we do it in really mean, catty
ways.
If you
were confident and not insecure, you would not care about anybody else around you. You would not be competing for anything because you don't need to. If you are confident in yourself, the way you look at other women is really different to someone who is not confident in themselves. The way you view other women is based on your own confidence level. And
how you view yourself how you rank with other women.
Yeah.
If you see yourself as below everyone on like the feeding chain and, you know, you're losing the competition, if that's how you feel, of course you're going to try and bring other women down. Of course you're going to try and make other women look worse off to make yourself look better if that's how insecure you're feeling.
100%, because that makes you feel temporarily good. It's like, haha, sucked in. You know, you're not as good as me anymore, or I found a flaw. I think that really there needs to be a shift in the way that we see other women, because I think right now it's woman against woman, and it's so competitive. I mean, every woman is a model now, like judging by their Instagram. Every woman, you know, a lot of women are educated now. A lot of women are kicking butt in their careers. A lot of women are traveling. You know, obviously we have so much more opportunity, but also more opportunity to compete with each other. With more opportunity comes more of a ranking and more of a competition with other women. And while that's awesome, we've got so much available to us, it's also so detrimental in the way that we view other women, because instead of cheering them on, we're kicking them in the shins. And that is not helpful.
But smiling to their faces.
Yeah. It's that really smiling assassin phenomenon we always talk about. So I think that that's really the basic psychology behind Mean Girls. It's really the evolutionary theory. It's the competitive with other women. And the way that it's still exemplifying in today's society is with social media. And I wonder if the increasing anxiety and depression comes from a little bit of that comparison. And think about the increase in eating disorders, increase in body dysmorphia, and in decreased body satisfaction. Girls as young as 3 or 4 are looking at the TV and wanting to change something about themselves. I mean, they're comparing themselves to another female. So it's so, so detrimental, girls. And I think that if this continues, then what do we have? I mean, if we can't even get girls on our side, then what do we have?
There's kind of like this paradox where we are a society that encourages strong, independent women. Yep. We're so for female empowerment. But by the same token, it's like, no, every woman for themselves.
Yeah.
Like you can't.
Or when you see a strong, independent woman, you're threatened.
Tear her down.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's so confusing. And I think that's why a lot of women in business, whenever I read interviews by them, they're like, you need to be cutthroat in this business. And people don't like it, whether it's men or women. And it's so sad that, yes, it's amazing that women can do so much now and we can build our own empires and shatter those glass ceilings. But to lose your girl tribe along the way, or to have women that are against that, is so sad, and it's a bit of a tragedy.
Yeah. And have you noticed how women who are successful, I've noticed this common phrase used for women that are successful, women that achieve or just have a seemingly happy life, what a bitch. They're always a bitch.
I hate her.
She's such a bitch.
Oh, she's got everything. I hate her.
What a bitch, yeah.
What?
Where did that come from?
Where's the fuck yeah girl? Like, yeah. You have worked your butt off. She's you deserve. Killing she's killing it. Yeah. Yes, queen. No, get it.
Ugh, what a bitch.
Yeah. I bet she's unhappy. We try and find something, one thing that makes us feel better about that person.
Yeah.
Chances are, like, nobody's perfect. I'm sure they're, you know.
Or if someone's really beautiful, I bet if they took their makeup off, they wouldn't be pretty.
Yeah.
Or I bet if she didn't just spend so much money getting all that work done, she wouldn't be as beautiful.
Yeah. Or it's just because what she looks like on Instagram.
Yes, she's stunning. Wow.
Yeah. Or if someone is it's a lot of focus on the outside as well, isn't it? I mean, how often do you say, wow, that girl's so kind, that girl's so brave?
Yeah.
It's, wow, that girl's got really nice highlights. Like, when did the physical stuff get way more important and more of a resource than
our personality?
Yeah. When did that become the defining feature of somebody?
Mm.
So if you're someone who, and I know Ames and I have talked about this in a previous episode, you feel like you don't connect with your girlfriends. You feel like maybe you've outgrown them, or maybe they're just, you walk away feeling low. You walk away feeling not so good about yourself. Then I think it might be time to change up who you hang out with and your tribe. So obviously tribes were really developed from women who raised their children together while the men went to hunt. And it was a community of women coming together to help each other out to raise their children. Where did that go? Like, where did we get so lost along the way that we don't have that anymore? We don't have that community. And I think being in a first world country like Australia, we are so amazingly lucky. I'm not discounting that, but we've lost some of that camaraderie and that collaboration with other women.
We are taught to be independent, powerful, strong women. We aren't taught to support each other, to work
lean
together,
on each other.
You can be a strong, independent woman and support the woman next to you to be just as strong and independent.
100%, yeah. So I think that if you're someone who is struggling with your tribe, I actually was researching this the other day. Bumble has I don't know if it's a separate app from the Bumble app, but they have a section for finding friends. Isn't that awesome? So you can find friends in your community. You can find like-minded women. It doesn't have to be through Bumble. It can be through meetups. It can be from work. It can be, there are so many places to meet new friendships. Or if you just move somewhere, they do have local catch-ups. Like they've got walking groups, running groups, things like that. There's lots of Facebook forums for things like this, on Instagram. So use social media to your advantage here if you're really struggling to find your tribe. Mm. And it can be so lonely. It's so great to have a beautiful relationship with somebody, whether it's a man or a female. But if you don't have your tribe backing you, as we said 2 episodes ago, friendships are a much stronger indicator of happiness than our partner.
Mm.
Friendships are so important to happiness and well-being and community and overall life satisfaction. But if we don't have that, then what happens? And if we're constantly tearing each other down, then what happens to our mental health? So we also want to talk about judgment and girl shaming. And we do know that it really comes from a place of insecurity and not feeling like you're as good as someone.
Mm.
But what is so wrong with knowing that someone is a girl or a female is smarter than you? What is so scary that you can't admit that and you can't just own that? What is so scary about admitting that a girl has, nicer hair than you? What is so scary about admitting a girl is kicking butt in her career?
Mm.
What is so scary to admit that a girl is more attractive than you? Why is that so taboo? Why are we not okay with that? And it's only a competition if you make it a competition. And if you do make it a competition, chances are you're never going to win.
Mm.
There is always someone out there more beautiful, more attractive, smarter, has more money.
You're going to be the one left feeling insecure and inadequate. Whereas we really require a conscious effort to switch this whole competitive, judgmental mindset. And like we've discussed, it is more of a primal instinct to compete with other women. We really need to make more of an effort to, rather than being like, that girl's so beautiful, but I bet if you took all her makeup away or took all that money that she spent away, she wouldn't be really beautiful. Acknowledge that she's beautiful. It has nothing to do with you that she's beautiful.
Exactly.
So don't make it about you. Yes, that other woman is beautiful. Has nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
Says nothing about you.
It doesn't, no. You know, as Amy was saying, there needs to be a shift here. There needs to really, really be a shift of she is a threat to me and she's making me feel insecure to, yes, girl, you are killing it. Mm. You are beautiful. You have worked your butt off to get that degree. Whatever it is, you've worked hard for that money. You deserve to have a nice car.
Mm.
Where's that? Like, why are we not using that anymore? I think as girls, like, girls get it. Girls know how hard it is to live in a world that's quite patriarchal in design. We know. We're both down here getting our butts absolutely kicked sometimes in this world. So rather than come from a place of threat and insecurity, come from a place of empathy and knowing how she's feeling, that she gets it. Vulnerability really seems to be the core of why women don't seem to be accepting each other. Because what is so scary about being vulnerable?
And why are we so embarrassed and ashamed about admitting we have insecurities when we know everyone does?
Mm.
Like time and time again, we, you know, and everyone's aware of it. We all have insecurities. We know not everyone's perfect. Yet it's almost embarrassing to admit to someone like, oh, I'm really insecure about this, or I'm not feeling too great about this. So we don't voice it. Then we hold it in, and anytime we see another female that maybe, say we're insecure about, you know, not having long thick hair, we see another female with long thick hair, like, oh, that bitch. I bet that's extensions. Or like, yeah, she might have long thick hair, but she doesn't have this. Why can't we just be like, oh, she's got great long thick hair.
Killing it, girl. Yeah. Why is it suddenly this really awful, mean, malicious competition when it doesn't need to be? So this week we challenge you to look at females in a very different way. So if you tend to look at other women and immediately get a feeling of jealousy or insecurity, then we challenge you to change that this week. And instead of doing that, start to look at them from a place of sisterhood and of being on their side. So if you see a girl and you think, wow, she's really attractive and I feel really insecure, stop yourself, accept that thought and think something differently. Like, yes, wow, she looks like she works really hard in the gym. She looks really strong and she looks really beautiful. How awesome and good on her. And girls, just a reminder, because you find somebody else attractive and beautiful, and that doesn't mean you're any less beautiful, and it doesn't mean you're any less attractive either. If you see someone in the gym killing it, that doesn't make you any less strong or any less fit. If you see someone at work killing it, acknowledging that they are absolutely smashing it doesn't mean that you're any less of a good worker. You are more than enough, and you are so enough. And the sooner you believe that, and the sooner that you start to act that you are confident and you are more than enough, the less you're going to tear down the other women, you know, that you see on the street or the other women that you see on Instagram, because you won't need to get that feeling of needing to tear another woman down and seek out her flaws, because you will feel confident enough not to have to worry about another woman. And you can acknowledge someone else's beauty and passion and power and bravery without having that impact you. As Amy said, it's got nothing to do with you. And the sooner that we celebrate each other and stop kicking each other down, the sooner that we can start a bit of a revolution and a shift. And I can guarantee the more confident and secure you are, the happier and more successful you're going to be in your life, whether it's for your emotional and mental health.
You go, Glen Coco.
Next time you look at a girl and you criticize her, you judge her, or you look at her and actively try and seek out a single or many flaws, then please know this. Criticism and judgment is born not from anybody or anything else, but you and your own insecurities. When a woman judges another woman, this says more about the perpetrator than the victim. This is not caused by the victim, not from her Instagram, not from her physical appearance, not from her clothes, not because you think she's asking for it, not because you think she's a slut, but because to you, this girl feels like a threat and it makes you feel self-conscious. The reason you're critiquing her is that next to her, you feel like you are not enough. So instead of coming from a place of insufficiency, threat, or judgment, come from a place of knowing, empathy, and understanding. Because here's the thing, girls. She also knows what it's like to feel judged by others. She also feels terrified to walk down a street alone at nighttime. She also knows what it's like to feel objectified by men day in and day out. She knows how hard it is to be taken seriously professionally. She too has had her heart broken. She too knows that it's so hard to feel confident and beautiful, and she's allowed to post, wear, and do whatever she likes without repercussion. She too hates her body. She too is very self-conscious. She finds it hard to leave the house sometimes. She also has anxiety and depression. She also makes a lot of mistakes, but she is doing her damn best. We can either use this amazing feminine girl power force for good or for evil, and it seems like at the moment we're using it mostly for evil. To be judged by a man and men is one thing, but females judging other females is an absolute tragedy, because we can't expect others to accept us as amazingly beautiful heroines writing our own story, and we can't expect to shatter glass ceilings or express our own sexual political freedom if our tribe can't even back us. We get it. We're all in the same boat. We're all getting our butts absolutely kicked in the arena. You are not better than anybody, and nobody is better than you. We are of the same power. But when we combine kindness, understanding, empathy, and that amazing feminine girl power energy, holy shit, that would be pretty bloody amazing. So we wanted to leave you with that because we think that it's got to stop this bitching and this slander and malicious to other girls, because we all get it. We're in exactly the same boat and it's so tough out there.
Mm. And it starts with each of us as individuals treating each other as women with more compassion, more empathy, and more support for embracing each other's success, embracing each other's different qualities and different strengths.
So we are just introducing a little segment at the end of all our episodes, purely because people have been asking us lots of questions.
Which we love.
Which we absolutely love. We love you guys. Keep them coming. Slide into our DMs. We love it. And we do just wanting to address them, I guess, in a public space. Obviously, people are totally anonymous, but I think this will be really awesome to share with everybody, not just the people that we write back to. So we've had a few people asking us about our services and whether they can come and see us as mental health clinicians. So while this is so bloody lovely and we're so stoked,
flattered,
at the moment, no, we are not taking on clients, but it is something that we are absolutely 100% working on.
Yes.
If you did notice, we were a little bit quiet a few weeks ago. It's because we were putting our brains together to try and come up with a way where we can offer our services to, I guess, everybody and try and find a way we can help you guys out a little bit. Mm. So which is pretty exciting.
Very exciting.
New ventures, new year, new us. However, we do suggest that you do go to your GP for a referral for a psychologist or a psychotherapist. Do you need to go to GP for a referral for a psychotherapist?
You don't need to, but you can. Same okay. process.
So under a mental health care plan, you can get much cheaper sessions with mental health professionals if that's a route you want to go down, or if you're not too worried about money, you can go straight and call the psychology clinic and book an appointment as well. So that's the general process of seeking a referral. I'm sorry we haven't made that clear beforehand, but we've had a few people ask us how to do it and how to book in with someone.
And if you are a little bit nervous, like if this is the first time you've ever, you know, you might have thought about seeing a counsellor or a psychologist for a little while and this is the first step you're taking, it is very daunting and it can be a little bit overwhelming and of where to start, who to talk to, because there's so much information out there. So sometimes the easiest way is just to go to your local GP or your family GP and talk to them about local services and referrals for them to give you some information.
Your GP is a really good source of information. If they're a family GP you've seen for a while, they're a fantastic source of information. They usually have connections with psychologists, counsellors in the area, and they will know people who are really, really good and who will suit you. If not, any GP you go to generally has their recommended psychologists that they refer people on to. So don't be worried about going. GPs do get this a lot and the mental health care plan is there for a reason. It's to help people seek mental health support. You do not need to have a diagnosis. You do not need to be, you know, feeling, you know, depressed or anxious. It can just be just to go and talk to someone. So don't feel like you can't go because you think, oh, maybe I'm not that bad, or maybe I'm fine, I'm just being silly. You can go just to talk to someone. You don't have to be struggling with anything too severe. You can literally just go and get a referral. And we've had another question. So we're going to put this up on Instagram. We're going to do like little polls maybe of ask us anything. We had someone ask us about, they said, hey guys, I've just gotten married and I'm feeling a little bit lost. I feel like after our wedding, it was a huge build up. And then now that it's finished and everything's over with, I feel like our love is a little bit different. I feel like we're going in a weird direction and I'm just not feeling like it was the same as when we first met. So this was a fantastic question and I think it's one we wanted to address because it is something that I think is very normal but not really spoken about very much, especially for new couples. So obviously with a new marriage, you have, as you're saying, so much build up. It's like, oh my gosh, you're planning the engagement, you're planning the wedding, planning the honeymoon. People are around you at a time of planning a wedding. People surround you. You've got your bride tribe, you've got your family. I can speak about this because I get it right. I'm in it right now. You've got everyone around you and you feel so much love and people want to support you and help you out. It's almost like this little community comes together and it's a really nice feeling and it's a celebration of you and your love. And so what about the other side of it, though? You come back from your honeymoon, you've had a few weeks of just settling into your routine, and it's almost like, now what? Mm. Where's the excitement? Where's the community that we're here? Where's my bride tribe? Like, where's my family? Like, it's almost like you go from 100 to zero, and that can really impact on your relationship because you might feel like, well, what's wrong with us? You know, why aren't we excited anymore? Where's the busyness of it? Where's the intensity? Where's the collaboration that we needed to organize a wedding? And now we don't have that. Mm. So it's kind of like, it's like the next stage almost.
I mean, I guess it depends too on how long you've been in a relationship with your partner for, but definitely there's a big difference between love and desire and love and the excitement and the eroticism that comes into play in a relationship. So without that anticipatory excitement of planning a wedding, going on a honeymoon, once it kind of calms back down to normality, it's going to feel different naturally. Mm. That's very normal. And also I feel like a big part of couples adjusting to married life is they now may feel this sense of duty or roles. So expectations that are meant to be fulfilled by the husband and expectations that are meant to be fulfilled by the wife. So for example, even sex. So sex in marriage is sometimes something that changes over time, which is completely normal because maybe the meaning isn't the same. Maybe it's no longer about excitement and desire and that, you know, that sense of passion and eroticism. It becomes more of a duty. So wife may interpret husband's kind of
how do you
persuasions
very profesh
as more of a request to fulfill her duty. So I feel like sometimes in a relationship, the stage that it gets to is less about the excitement and the desire and more about fulfilling your duty or your obligation to your partner. And that's where sometimes what she's describing, this feeling of kind of like loss of excitement or loss of
the lust, the desire.
Just everything's kind of calmed down and you're left feeling kind of like, oh, well, this is the person that I've decided to marry. And you kind of see them in a really realistic view.
Yeah.
Like there's no more excitement. There's no more – well, not that there's no more excitement, but I feel like the wedding is kind of like this bubble that you're in, this big exciting bubble and everything's going on. Like you said, you're feeling a sense of love
there's
and community.
So much love, and it's not just love from the other person. It's love from your family. It's love from your friends. It's a big bubble of love. And when you get home from your honeymoon, you feel like you're out of that bubble a little bit. It's like, oh, where's all the love gone? Like what? And I think that because a wedding is a huge expression, it's an outward expression of verbal and visual love for two people, you come home and you're like, where's everybody else? You know, I spent so much of my life planning this amazing, you know, representation of love, but what now? Like, am I not into anymore? Is it just because I feel like it's not as exciting anymore? And I think it really moves from being desire and lust and excitement and mystery to almost companionship. It's almost like you turn, you know, it's less about hot sex and, you know, sometimes it's more about, okay, you're my life partner now, let's do this together. As you know what I mean, like there's a bit of a shift from the eroticism to the predictable life partner. If that kind of makes sense. I think we will do an episode on the relationship stages. Ames and I were just talking about that. I think that's a really awesome idea. So this was a little bit of a, I guess we can't really give you personal advice because we don't know much about your story, but I hope that was kind of helpful and we will be doing a longer episode on it too.
I think it's normal to get that feeling when you're kind of just settling back into 100%. Reality after a wedding.
Yeah. That's normal after any big event. After you come back from a holiday, it's like, oh, what now? Yeah, you've got...
And maybe the whole concept of marriage has sunk in a little bit, like this is someone I'm going to be with for life. This is someone that I'm going to have to work through conflicts and navigate difficult situations with. And I think you start to really see them in a really realistic, like you said, predictable in kind of environment. And that stage of the relationship can sometimes... maybe induce a little bit of panic.
Mm.
Like, oh gosh, have I?
That's when it sets in, isn't it? After the honeymoon, or when a few weeks in, you're like, oh god.
And you might even fantasize about things like having choice, and you know, you might start to fantasize about maybe how it was when you first met each other, or
the excitement. So we'd probably recommend, if you're really lacking that excitement and it's really a routine, do something out of routine. Organize dates. Yeah. Organize a date for them, or ask them to organize one for you that's a total surprise. You know, keep up that excitement and mystery. Just because you're married now does not mean anything has to change. It changes if you let it, but if you actively try and work on that relationship, then it can be, you know, it's totally okay, and it's totally allowed to have fun and get back some of that, like, honeymoon excitement. Stages. Yeah.
And advice that I always give couples is to, if you want to see change in your partner, the best way to do that is to make that, like, demonstrate that change, model that change. So if you want more romance, passion, excitement in the relationship, model that to your partner.
Yeah, 100%. So, yes, we'll be doing an episode on that, but I hope that was kind of helpful. So, yeah, that's our new little segment.
Woohoo!
Alrighty, guys, we will catch you next episode.
Yeah.
We need to get a coffee. All right, guys, thanks so much.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you love this episode, or you know someone who might, we would love you to share this with them. If you want to see more, please follow us on our Instagram at The Psychology Sisters.
Please note, the content shared in this episode is for educational and general informational purposes only, and does not replace personalised advice and support from mental health professional. See you next episode for more spicy science and sexy self-help.